Brilliant. Thank you, David. Thank you to Michael. Now we move to our interrogation section. I'm going to invite Michael to drive the next 10 minutes, and then we'll reverse it by interrogating David on the claims he's just made.
Okay, thanks. Well, first, David, nobody suggested, certainly I didn't suggest, eradicating Christianity. In fact, I started by saying that everybody has the right to believe whatever they want to believe. I fully respect and support the right of religious people to believe whatever they want to believe and to practice their religion as long as it doesn't infringe on the human rights of others. Saying that you believe that something holds society back is not the same thing as saying that you believe people don't have the right to practice it. In terms of practicing it and in terms of the beliefs, can I just clarify first in terms of your position with regard to the Bible? Do you believe that everything in the Bible is true?
And good. Yes.
Okay. So would you believe, for example, that it is right to stone a man to death for gathering sticks on the Sabbath or to stone a woman to death for not being a virgin on her wedding night?
No.
You don't think that that's right?
Yes.
Okay. Now, what criteria are you using to determine that? Let's take another thing first of all. I presume you accept that love thy neighbour as yourself is good.
Yep.
Okay. Okay, so both of those are in the same book. What criteria are you using to determine that love thy neighbour as thyself is a good thing that God said, and stone a man to death for gathering sticks on the Sabbath is a bad thing that God said?
Well, I would use three criteria. One is intelligence. The other is reading the Bible as it's written and the context. And the third is a concept of what's called progressive revelation. Because there are religious fundamentalists who pick and choose verses from the Bible, so are atheists very often pick and choose verses from the Bible and don't understand them in context. So the passage you're referring to about stoning on the Sabbath, the one person who we know that happened to, is in the context of the civil law of Israel. And the way that I would put it is simply this. I'd go along with Richard Dawkins, actually, if as an atheist you want to accept that. He asks in The God Delusion, why do we have the right to judge people from another era with the zeitgeist of this era? I think these problems, verses in the Bible are difficult for Christians because we have an absolute law. I don't see why they should be a difficulty
for you. But it did say, first of all, it wasn't these people. If you believe in God, it was God that said this. They specifically asked God what to do. Should we stone this man to death for gathering sticks? And he specifically said yes. So this isn't people. So when did God change his morality then?
No, I don't think God has changed his morality. I think if you see...
How did you decide that God's morality in that instance was wrong or subject to progressive revelation?
Well, actually, because Jesus revealed that himself.
Jesus said he had come to ensure that not a single jot or tittle of the Jewish law would be removed. He also said he came to bring peace and not a sword. He said he came to bring family against family. He said he would kill the children of Jezebel for the sins of their mother. He drove moneylenders out of the temple, which is hardly a pacifist act. The idea of Jesus being some sort of a pacifist that changed what God said is
but
largely
I never
fictional.
But I never said that Jesus was a pacifist. And I think you've got a problem, because what you keep trying to argue against is a very simplistic view of Christianity and religion. And I suspect, Michael, you have a wee tendency to kind of set things up so that you can mock them.
I take it very seriously.
If you really, really wanted to know what the answer to that question is, then one of the things that you would look at, and believe you me, as a Christian, I struggle with it. I mean, I find it difficult to see how you can struggle with it because it's from a zeitgeist of many eras ago. I think what you're trying to do is set up this straw man thing so that you're mocking God who's changing. I never argued that Jesus was a pacifist. I think Jesus driving the money changers out of the temple, amen to that, and may he continue to do so. And I wish there were more people, more Christians, who would behave like Jesus in that respect. But what I do know in terms of the progressive revelations, you get things like Jesus saying, you have heard it said that, but I say unto you. So what you find within the Bible, and it's important, if you want a lesson in biblical interpretation, first of all, you find many passages that are descriptive, not prescriptive. So they're describing something that happened. Secondly, you're finding that there is a progressive revelation moving on. So that in the context of that time, the man was stoned not for collecting sticks on a Sunday. And if you go out and, I don't know, collect peat in Ireland.
Could give other examples. What I'm actually getting at this, and which is why I asked you how you determined it, at the start, is not the specific acts. What I'm coming around to suggesting is that however you reconcile those parts of the Bible that you have to do something with in order to find them good, and those parts which you can automatically say, yes, that's good, love thy neighbor as yourself, that's automatically good. It shows that you, or whoever else thinks they're getting progressive revelation, that you are applying your own morality to the book. You're not getting your morality from the book, because if you were getting your morality from the book, you would automatically go, yes, that is right, we should stone this person to death because God said so. So however you reconcile it, whether it's that was for one pair of people at one time, or whether it's an interpretation, or whether it's a metaphor, you are applying natural human morality to what you're reading. You're not getting your morality from the book.
No. Again, two mistakes. You see, this is where it's very helpful for us to dialogue, because if you keep arguing against the position that Christians don't hold, you're just going to keep appealing to atheists and not directing to Christians. Christians do not believe that you get your morality from the Bible. The Bible is not a book of morals that is given to us. Christians believe that all human beings are moral because they're made in the image of God. Let me finish. Well, there are Christians who are stupid, so let's leave aside that just now.
There are also
Christians who don't understand the Bible, and there are Christians who don't read the Bible, and there are Christians who believe what some dumb preachers tell them. That I'm not defending that.
So Christians who get their morality from the Bible are stupid.
No, I didn't say that.
No, you did.
No,
say
no,
that.
No, actually, no, yeah. No. You see, this is the little
several
no,
video
no.
cameras.
Oh no. This is the little trick that atheists play, and you have to be honest. I didn't say that Christians who get their morality from the Bible are stupid. I said that Christians who think that morality comes from the Bible are stupid.
No, I said some Christians do get their morality from the Bible, and you said, yes, some Christians are stupid.
No.
That's the clear inference from that.
No, you said...
Several video cameras.
No. Because, Michael, listen...
Okay, well, clarify then. So then you don't think they're stupid to get their morality from the Bible?
No.
You think they're right to get their morality from the Bible?
No, again.
Oh, both of them.
If you want to argue with what I think, instead of playing to the audience by trying to make it appear stupid, listen to what I'm saying, then argue against it, okay?
Okay, go ahead.
So let me finish it. Here is the Christian position. We believe that all human beings are moral because they are made in the image of God, that the innate morality that we have, every human being has, that's why non-Christians can be judged by God as well as Christians. However, we believe that our consciences and our morality, if you like, has been seared, and that we need, because we've fallen in sin and so on. My problem,
you
see...
Let me finish. We've only got a few minutes.
No, exactly. Well, but if you keep interrupting me, it gets even longer. Yeah. So, if... We believe that human beings do need God's law, not to tell us this is how you should live, but to make us aware of the fact that we're not the way that we should be. Now, my problem with what you're saying is this. You seem to have this enormous faith that there's an innate human morality that everybody knows. And I would argue there is actually an innate human morality that comes from being made in the image of God, but that God reveals his law to us to show us how much we break that. And I don't think your simplistic view of the Bible is actually worthy of you. It's easy to mock a straw man. Don't set up a straw man. Argue against what we really believe. And we do believe that all human beings are fallen. I know that's mockery to you, that all human beings are sinful, but that the Bible comes and shows us not just that we are sinful, it's like a mirror showing us what's wrong with us, but it also shows us the way to be put right.
Well, forgive me here if I'm misinterpreting you. I'm sure you can clarify. You said both that we are sinful and we are innately moral.
Yes.
How does that work?
Well, if you weren't moral, you couldn't be sinful. I grew up on a farm, and you know, I'm telling you this right now. I remember when a mother pig eating her baby pigs. If a mother human being killed her babies and ate them, she's going to jail because we hold that as a moral action. But when a pig does it, you don't say, right, let's hold a trial for this pig. So you cannot be sinful without morality.
Yeah, okay. Can we move on to another topic? What's your position on gay marriage?
My position on gay marriage doesn't exist.
What doesn't exist?
What? Gay marriage doesn't exist.
Okay, what's your position on marriage equality?
For who?
For everybody, for heterosexual and homosexual couples.
Marriage equality for everyone.
Yeah.
So do you think that...
No, for marriage equality without discrimination on the grounds of sexuality in terms of being heterosexual or gay.
Okay, that's a very different question, because when you're saying marriage equality, I'm thinking of friends who would argue that they are naturally polygamous, and therefore shouldn't they be allowed to marry as many people as they want?
No, that's not what I'm saying. I think you'll understand what I'm saying, because it's
oh, I understand what you're saying, because...
Okay, well then, it's how about answering it?
No, I understand what you're saying, because it's the way that people play with words, because initially in Scotland, for example, when we were having a referendum or opinion polls, because we're governed by opinion polls now, on... same-sex marriage, when people were asked about same-sex marriage, the majority of people said no, but when they started calling it equal marriage, well, equality is a good thing, we've got to go for it. I don't accept the term. I wrote to David Cameron, which wasn't a very smart thing, because I didn't get a very smart answer back, saying, can you please explain your stance on same-sex marriage? And his response was a very unintelligent one. Two people who love one another should be able to marry each other. But he also, in that letter, it came from him, said, we need to redefine marriage for everyone. If you understand marriage as it has been traditionally understood in Western European liberal society for the past 1,500 years, possibly even longer, then same-sex marriage doesn't exist without redefining marriage for everybody. And I don't agree with redefining marriage for everybody.
Well, first of all, I mean, that isn't how, I mean, marriage has evolved over the centuries in many ways. It was originally just alliances between families. It wasn't individuals who loved each other. It was alliances between families. So it's constantly being redefined. But again, I just to cut to the chase, are you saying that you don't believe that gay couples should be allowed to marry?
I think it's impossible, yes.
Well, it is possible, but I mean, because happens.
It's impossible without redefining marriage.
Yeah, you see, this is the difficulty that I have with religious...
60 seconds.
Yeah. Right.
Okay. I'll take it then that what you're saying is that you don't think they should be legally allowed. Is that correct?
Yes, I think it's impossible. I think it's like the government legislation. It's like you asking me, do you think that there can be square circles because the government have made a law that there are square circles? No, I don't.
Yeah, you see, now this goes back to the original point, which is that one of the difficulties of operating on the basis of faith is that you're making comments that are completely out of line with reality. If we're going to have a discussion where you just don't accept that gay marriage exists, I mean, there's nowhere we can go with it.
I agree. Yeah, we can't go in it because the presuppositions are completely different. The only difference is I would say that your position is the unreal one. But.
Well, they're getting on. Here, aren't they? I mean, this is terrific. Well, thank you very much for driving the first half. Over to you, David. You've got 10 minutes to interrogate Michael.
Okay. Michael, can you name one state based on atheism which you'd like to live in?
Well, there aren't. I don't want to live in a state based on atheism. I would be as opposed to a state promoting atheism as I would to a state promoting religion. I want to live in a secular state where the state recognises equally the right of people to hold religious or non-religious beliefs and doesn't discriminate in favour of either.
Good, thank you. Do you accept... I appreciate that there are many people who like that unreal fantasy, but let me ask, do you accept that every state has to be based upon an ethos or a basis for morality?
Yeah.
Which one should it be?
It should be compassion, empathy, cooperation, reciprocity, fairness, justice, equality, lack of discrimination.
And who defines those words?
We do.
And who's we?
Well, the
human beings.
Morality evolves. Morality is not something that is sent down to us. Not only humans, but also non-human animals have these attributes. Because one of the things that you said earlier that is wrong is you said that Darwinianism is about the strong thriving over the weak. That's not what Darwinian means. The word fit those fittest for survival, it means those that fit best into the environment. And with regard to a lot of species, including humans, you fit best into the environment by cooperating with each other in the way, to use an obvious example, species or those members of the species who had the attribute of looking after their offspring in a loving way were more likely to survive and reproduce than those that didn't. So we evolve into a case where one of our underpinnings of morality is love of parents for children. But it's nothing to do with the strong overcoming the weak. I mean, that's part of it. But it's also cooperation, empathy, reciprocity.
Whoa. First of all, that wasn't the question I was asking. Secondly, you came out with two statements there. It's nothing to do with the strong overlooking the weak.
Yeah, okay.
That's part of it. Those are two contradictory statements.
They aren't, yes. It's not solely to do with the competition.
Not solely.
Competition and cooperation are both important to survival.
Good. I'm not disagreeing with that, and that wasn't
Excellent.
Where we were going.
Okay.
What you've done is you put back the answer because you've used words that people go, oh, yes, equality, justice, compassion.
Mm-hmm.
And I've asked who defines that, and you said human beings.
Yep.
Which human beings? Because what if human beings disagree about what those mean?
Well, what happens is either, as in the Crusades and Inquisitions or parts of Islam today, they kill each other because they disagree with each other.
Mm-hmm.
Or alternatively, we try to refine our sense of how we deal with these things in by discussion and by democracy. And there are two things that are equally important to the outcomes. There was something I was going to mention earlier, which I think is relevant to just mention briefly here.
Briefly.
That there are a lot of studies that show that atheists and secularists are less prejudiced, less anti-Semitic, less racist, less dogmatic, less ethnocentric, less closed-minded, less authoritarian than our religious people. There are studies that show that during the Holocaust, that the more secular a person was, the more likely they were to help the Jews escape from the Nazis. There are studies that show that atheists are less likely to commit murders, less likely to be represented in jails. There are a range of studies that show that in terms of morality and in terms of the outcomes that you would like to see from morality, including also things like teenage pregnancies, abortions, etc., that secular states have far better outcomes than religious states. And if you take the United States of America, the secular states within that have far better outcomes than the Bible Belt states.
That's interesting because, again, you place great faith in studies. I would show you lots of studies the other way. For example, I mean, broke Godwin's law because you mentioned the Holocaust. So let me point out that a survey was done of Luftwaffe pilots who were captured in England, and when they were asked what their religion was, 40% of them said that they were atheist, 40% of them said Hitler, and 20% said either Catholic or Protestant. Studies can prove anything, and people on the internet are very self-selective about studies. Yeah, I'm sorry, I'm a realist. I don't live in this fantasy world where I pluck out Wikipedia or anything else, just the things that suit me. I like to deal with actual facts. And it's interesting because, let me tell you a wee story about how, I remember I wrote an article for Kaleidoscope, which is a gay online magazine in Scotland, and I wrote an article stating what my position was, and there was a bit of an argument and discussion and so on. And one man actually wrote me and said, David, I actually appreciate your position, and I wouldn't mind living in a country which was based on Christian principles and the way that you elaborate, even though I'm a gay man and so on, and I disagree with what you're fundamentally saying. But he also said this. He said, I think we're really talking about how we'd all like to live in countries like, and he listed off 10 countries, Norway, Denmark, the United Kingdom, the United States, the Netherlands, and so on. You know what the interesting thing was? And I wrote back to him and I said this, all of these countries are countries which arose out of Protestantism and all had established Christian faith. Now, what I find interesting is, you have said that you can't name one atheist state or state based upon atheist principles.
No, I didn't. No, you state based on atheist principles, would I like to live in?
Yes,
and I said I don't want to live in an atheist
exactly.
state. I can certainly name atheist states that are intolerable and that infringe on human rights in the same way as religious states do. I am as opposed to states that are based on atheism as I am to states that are based on religion.
Could you tell me of any state that exists at the moment that is not based on atheism or religion that you'd like to live
in? Well, the states that you've identified are pretty close to, which are the Scandinavian states, some parts of the United States. But they are secular states, they're not atheist states.
Yes,
they're neutral between... And I accept, by the way, your point that they initially came through Protestant societies, and that they don't tend, that you don't tend to get secular states evolving from Catholic societies.
I do
accept that. But what I think you should look at in the wider context is there's a site called the World Values Survey, which is put together by a team of interdisciplinary social scientists around the world, which is as far as you will get from choosing Wikipedia as a source. And what they are finding in terms of their examination of human values around the world is that as individual people move from from survival values towards self-expression values, that triggers societies to move away from traditional religious values and towards secular rational values. And the triggers for it are things like investment in health, education, communications technology, and democracy. And so when you have those things in place...
You're not getting into your speech again. No, okay. That's the old...
I thought that was the point.
That's
the
old urbanisation leads to secularisation theory, and it's been debunked numerous times. So we could argue these figures back and forward, but I want to come to another question.
Give me something that debunks it.
What's it?
Give me something that debunks it.
Well, for a start, the United States of America.
How does that debunk it?
And for another start.
How does that debunk it? You just mentioned the country. How does that debunk it?
Well, it debunks the idea that the more industrialized, the more advanced you become, I'm assuming you accept it's an advanced society, it's also a very religious society.
It's not. No, it is a religious society in the parts that aren't urbanized. The Bible Belt parts of America are the ones that are like the countries that haven't been urbanized. And when you get to the parts of America that are urbanized, they are more secular.
I see the old prejudice about the old prejudice.
The old facts, yeah.
Because I've been to the southern.
Give me another country.
Southern U.S. No. I'm sorry. I'm not going to let people away with that kind of illiterate racism because I've been to the southern. Let me finish.
Okay.
I have been to the southern United States. Okay. And it is incredibly urbanized. It is around 90% urbanized. So you don't get away with those kinds of comments. Now, let me... I've come across this racism.
What races did I mention?
You mentioned the southern... It's like me saying about the southern Irish, that they're a bunch of illiterate people.
No, you have no idea what a race is.
What's that?
You've no idea what a race is, clearly. Anyway, well, sorry, go on.
Whichever you want to call it, xenophobia or whatever. I mean, I used to have that attitude about the southern US until I went there as well. And it's always a good idea, if you're going to speak about people in general, to make sure that you go and you talk to them. Because I do think that kind of comment is not helpful at all, to take a whole group of people and to lump them together in one law. I don't think we should ever do that. I want to come back, though, to another issue, because...
No. You started that by lumping a whole country together. I tried to divide it out with some nuance.
No.
And then you tell me that I'm lumping things together.
Michael, what I did was I pointed in terms of states that you haven't been able to cite one state based on atheist principles which you'd be willing to live in. But because you don't want to, you're not able to do that.
I don't want to live in an atheist state.
The states that you have named are all ones that come from a strongly Protestant tradition. And
are now secular.
I accept that. But here in a secular state, secular doesn't mean non-religious. Secular means separation of church and state. I'm not disputing that. You had said about making laws. I just want to ask simply, on what basis are laws made? By the majority vote?
Well, it's a combination of it was majoritarian democracy up to recently, and now we are gradually evolving to a more nuanced version of human rights-based democracy, where the test of a democracy is how it treats its minorities rather than its majorities.
Well, that's fascinating, because you're saying that we're moving from laws being based on democracy to laws being based on human rights.
No, based on majoritarian democracy. I think in Northern Ireland and the Republic of Ireland, we know enough to know that religious majoritarian rule is not a good way to run society.
Oh, I know, but I'm just wondering about secular majoritarian rule as well.
Okay.
My last question... Okay, you're going to let it go.
Negative section. Thank you. Over to you, some microphones.